I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
To replay this message, press 1. To delete this message and go to
Guilt Tripping Confession.
Guilt Tripping Confession. Paranoid Guilt Tripping Confession.
This is Guilt Tripping Confessions, Season 2. Who do we have here in the studio today?
We have here, my name is Jimbo, Jimbo Leung. I also have a website called thejimbonator.com. And yeah, I've been having like some problems with substances, like energy drinks and coffee abuse. I have schizoaffective, which involves paranoia or psychosis and mood disorders and bipolar illness. I have generalized anxiety myself too, and autism is Asperger's. And like I said, I do have troubles with substances, like energy drinks and caffeinated beverages.
What other kind of caffeinated beverages do you have trouble with?
Energy drinks and coffee, but mostly energy drinks.
When's the last time you had an energy drink?
To be guilty and confess, I did have one yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
I thought you quit, man.
I did quit for about 5 weeks, and I thought to reassure to get my brain straightened out by concentration, memory, and focus, and alertness. So that's why I drank a little energy drink that had no sugar and no calories and no any additives in it. But I also have troubles with sex addictions. Like, the only thing I masturbate or watch sex was like,
okay, well, let's back up about your sexual confessions. We're focused on your caffeine problems, your energy drinks. So you had one yesterday. Did you get paranoid or
no,
how did
I took
it
affect two pills before or after. I think what I did is I drink the energy drink, a little small energy drink. And then after like a half an hour or 45 minutes, I took two Kanazes. And it treated really well, actually. It felt better. It leveled out my energy drink.
So just
addiction.
For the audience here, Jimmy's taking an upper, which is a high caffeine content energy drink, and then he's following it up, 15 minutes later with two downers, which are clonazepam heavy anti-anxiety meds, which really calm you down. So doesn't it cancel out the energy drink if you do that?
Well, it levels out, actually. Blocks out the energy drink side effects.
So you still get the high from the energy drink, but you don't get the paranoia? Is that what it does?
No, I don't get the generalized anxiety or paranoia. But,
so what were the benefits of the energy drink then?
The benefit of the energy drink helps me with memory, concentration, focus, and alertness and motivation. But the thing is like the doctor said it was okay to drink this stuff, and he told me that if you take these pills that I'm prescribed to you, they might block the extreme side effects that is causing it and stuff like that.
Okay, well, so you drank it in order to just feel like you had control of your mind, or were you trying to write something?
Control my mind, be more alert and exfoliate in the brain cells. Like,
but why? What did you want to do, or what? Where were you?
It helps me be able to be a good thinker and great smartness and writing the screenplays, writing business drafts. Writing business drafts and stuff like that, and be able to make money and everything like that. So I really enjoy the energy because it helps me make money. It does. Really does help me make money. It helps me feel good about myself.
Well, my experience with energy drinks is I always want to drink them, but every time I do, it kind of has negative side effects. And then my wife, Lisa, senses that something's fucked up with me. And she'll inevitably say, like, why are you acting so weird? You drank an energy drink, didn't you? And then I got to confess, yeah, I did. And she's like, yeah, you're acting like paranoid. You give me weird vibes. You're getting all aggressive and frustrated, easily frustrated. I snap easily.
And it feels like she's crucifying you, right, Ryan?
No, she just, I can sense it in my own head that, you know, I shouldn't have drank that because I'm acting weird, or I'm starting to get negative thoughts about everything.
Yeah, I had things like that when our friends were kind of accusing me of doing energy drinks. I say, hey, man, stop crucifying me. Stop persecuting me just because I drink that stuff. Or off of this, Jimmy, you touch the forbidden tea and you sin. Just like Adam and Eve sin when they touched the forbidden fruit. Jimmy Leung touched the forbidden tea and drank it, and then he became skinny, and the whole world became skinny. the whole world is going through a dimension of destruction.
So you had a dimension of destruction yesterday when you drank it?
Well, I thought I came out from a different dimension and was destroyed.
So you thought you died or what?
Well, I thought I died and went to a different world called... I don't know if you call it dimension, but I felt like I died and went to another world.
And are you in that world now, or where are you, man?
I feel like I'm dying every day and moving to different places, evolving in different people's bodies, like always turn into certain people, evolving, getting taller, shorter, transformation, evolving, and also... revolutionize, or we could call it evolutionize, change from turn into a monkey, and then later on turn into a human, then turn into a cow, then turn into Fraser, then turn into Ryan. Get all these weird OCD thoughts, like thinking that I turn people into shit, dog shit. I feel like I turn people into garbage.
You're hallucinating the genesis of life on Earth and thinking that you're metamorphosizing into all these different people and things, and then all of a sudden you're getting guilty, thinking you caused everybody to turn into, you know, negative stuff. You're having visions, man. You shouldn't be drinking energy drinks, man. You told me you quit. I'm trying to quit. I did quit. I quit energy drinks. Okay, let me back up here. This is season 2 of Guilt Trip and Confessions. Let's mention season 1. It's a bunch of random episodes of random stuff that we recorded whenever, mostly into my phone. And it was all recorded many years ago. They will flash forward to now, present day. We are in 2021. Changes that have happened since season 1 of Guilt Trip and Confessions is... I quit smoking. And then about 6 months to a year later after that, I quit alcohol. Then about 6 months after that, I became a vegan. And this is all stuff that's been bothering me for many years. I knew I shouldn't be smoking. I was killing myself. I was chain smoking cigarettes, smoking at least a pack a day. I would be coughing and puking and feeling like I'm going to die, and then I would light up another cigarette. It was some kind of death wish I had, and I couldn't stop, and I just knew enough was enough. A guy from work told me he struggled with it himself, and he said, "Hey, have you read the book?" I said, "What book?" He said, "It's called Alan Carr's Easy Way to Stop Smoking." And this is supposed to be a magic book for ex-smokers, that you read it, it gets you to really think about it as you're smoking cigarettes the whole time you're reading. He tells you to continue smoking while you're reading the book. And it gives you, through his descriptions, as you're smoking cigarettes, he makes you actually pay attention to it as you're smoking the cigarette. And it makes you realize that the cigarette isn't really actually doing anything for you. You feel like maybe the cigarette calms you down or gives you a break, but really it stresses you out because you just want another one soon after you finish. And it makes you feel gross and it tastes bad, but you really gotta, it's almost like a psychedelic experience when you're smoking these cigarettes, because you're focusing on it for the first time and seeing it in a new way, and you realize you don't want it anymore. And
so it kind of gives you a bad taste in the mouth, right?
Gives you a very bad taste in your life, yeah. And I quit. And I sometimes I crave it. Sometimes I wish I could just be rock and roll and continue to smoke.
Yeah.
Buy a fresh pack.
I also have a guilt trip and confession to make too. I kind of have a skepticism and Islamophobic towards Middle Eastern people, thinking that they're trying to kill me or stone me, and I'm judging them.
Well, you've mentioned that before, Jimmy, and let's just sidetrack into that for a second. You've mentioned you're scared that Muslims will come after you, but I think it's connected to kind of like a guiltiness that you have towards your sexual thoughts, because you're very attracted to, you know, Middle Eastern women, but you also have conflicting emotions from Christianity and stuff in your head that makes you feel guilty about having sexual thoughts. and then you think you're going to be judged or executed because of it from Middle Eastern women or men are going to come after you. But I've always tried to tell you, you know, you should embrace yourself, that you do have those thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with that. You got to realize you're forgiven, man.
They're not coming after you.
Nobody's coming after you, dude.
What about this? People are saying, gee, if you ever go out with an Eastern Indian woman, their brothers, their husbands, the boyfriends, and the fathers will go after you.
Nobody's coming after you, dude.
It's just only that I have something different to say. Sometimes I kind of like, I have to be a social tension towards the government and pretend that I'm a terrorist or videotape things as a terrorist just to gain the attention from the government to finance me. It's because I'm on disability and I don't have that much money, so I get to find the Canadian or government to finance me and give me money so I can actually use it for my advantage, and then pretend I'm a terrorist and broadcasting or sending videotapes to CNN or the government and pretend to be a terrorist and extract money from the government so I can live on without disability pension and have money, right? But then they realize that Jimmy is an actor, right? He's not
Let me just preface that, you know, Jimmy, you're not a terrorist. You have these weird thoughts. You're not a terrorist, man, right? You're a peaceful guy. You like action movies. Hey,
you can't keep moving around like that because it's picking up the microphone. Okay. Stop moving your legs. Well, I'm never going to work with you ever again.
Just kidding.
Well, if you have that goal and do a terrorism, it's like that. Make sure you consult with your friends like Ryan to make sure that you don't act up like that, because things like that will come and haunt you in the past or in the future.
So backtracking to the season 2 intro, I quit smoking, and that was a big change for me. It was a step towards trying to stay alive rather than trying to commit suicide, be it slowly or quickly. Then I had many years, I knew I was an alcoholic, and it was escalating for quite a long time. And I read the Alcoholics Anonymous book. I read a bunch of books about quitting alcohol. I actually read the book by the same guy, Alan Carr. He wrote basically the Bible on quitting smoking, as I mentioned, but he also wrote this other book. It's called The Easy Way to Control Alcohol. So I thought, you know, I'm going to read this book and learn how to drink responsibly. But the book was a bit of a trick. He tricks you because the title says The Easy Way to Control Alcohol. But the message of his book is that you can't control alcohol. You have to quit cold turkey. So I was pretty pissed off when I finished reading that book, because I felt like he tricked me, and it made me kind of realize, you know what? I can't control this. I can't moderate it. I need to stop doing this because I'm drinking alcohol every single day of my life, and I can't stop. I can't control it. Going back to cold beer and wine stores or liquor stores multiple times every day, and you know, I don't have any kind of deep insight into my own psyche of what was wrong with me that I was trying to avoid it by being drunk. But it was another step towards you know, trying to focus on stuff in life that I think is actually important. And, you know, I love alcohol. I love the way it makes me feel. I was a happy guy when I was drunk, but it was taken away from my relationships in my life. And
did it also make you horny like a dog, or lots of temptations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It led to you know, me being horny like a dog every day, and it led to me, you know, eating very, very unhealthily, you know, it's kind of connected to smoking and drinking, you know. So once the cigarettes were gone, I kind of started drinking even more, which was, I didn't know how that's even possible, but, you know, so once I got the drinking under control, I realized, you know what, I've been guilt tripping about the treatment of animals, and I saw some videos that I wish I could never see, which I wish I never saw. On Instagram, and followed all these vegan accounts and all these vegan activists and stuff for many years, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed about following a vegan diet because, you know, vegans have such a cliched bad rap, and there's so many beautiful foods of the world and different cultures, and I love so many different types of foods, and I don't know. I just with the state of capitalism and the animal industry, there's some pretty heinous stuff going on out there, and I don't know, it's just kind of like a little tiny little protest I'm doing against that stuff, and I don't know if I'm going to make any difference with it, but I had too many sort of psychotic episodes, guilt tripping, and realizing I'm contributing to all that suffering. And you know, there's a whole debate out there whether or not animals are even conscious or able to suffer, but you know, it's pretty clear when you watch an animal scrambling to save its own life or whatever that it's not having a good time out there being fed into the machine. So what can you do? I don't know.
And
but then you know what? Oh yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Sorry, you feel sorry for these animals being cut up for food for the human man, right?
Yeah. Yep. I do, but, you know, maybe I'm...
Maybe I'm just a wuss,
I don't know.
Maybe I'm going to go to hell for eating animals like beef jerky, salmon.
Well, that's another thing, is this whole going to hell thing, which, you know, me and you both become very paranoid about, especially when your thoughts aren't working properly. You feel like you're going to hell.
And it feels, you know, like the Mangada killer killed a Chinese guy and the Greyhound killer killed a white guy. You see these things in the media that if me, Ryan, the skulls are on us, we're going to get beaten up and killed. Just like there's Chinese being killed because of white supremacists and hate crimes towards Chinese who bring coronavirus to our economy. Black Lives Matter and all these minorities to majorities.
So you see the stories of these notorious killers and somehow you think it's going to happen to you or something?
Yes, I think it's going to happen to me because I'm going to get beaten up or hurt because I'm Chinese and I got coronavirus.
That's a little, let me make a little side note here. This is a thing with schizophrenia. You get these thoughts flashing through your head that could just be in reference to something you saw or read in the news, or, you know, Jimmy heard about this Luca Magnotta killer guy. But then when you are having a psychotic break, that thought will flash up in your head, but somehow it's validated by, you know, neurotransmitters from your hippocampus or something. It validates that thought as that is real. Like, you'll just have this random thought that, you know, the Luca Magnotta killer is going to come after me, and that's why I was warned about it or something. But then it, you know, that's just a stupid thought, but it somehow gets verified by the authenticator in your brain, and all of a sudden it's reality. So this is just this weird thing. It's like there's no way for you to deny it if normally your authenticator is working properly and you're just accepting reality as it is. But all of a sudden when it starts verifying all these random thoughts, it's very weird.
What about the Chinese guy, Vince Lee? The guy was given a second opportunity to come back to the community and make friends when he should have been locked up in forensic for the rest of his life, and now he's allowed to go to community, doesn't need a curfew that much, the way I see it in the internet, and he could communicate with friends, make friends, and go out in the community. And
this is the Greyhound killer?
Yes, Greyhound killer, Vince Lee, and they cannot hold him liable because he was
having a psychotic break?
Yeah, because he had
a mental illness. That's a tough call, because he there's always a threat. You're like, okay, this guy's already done this, so I don't know. I wouldn't be feeling safe going on a bus with that guy. But I guess they just got to have someone diligently monitoring him to make sure he's taking his meds. That's also a misconception about people with schizophrenia, is that they're violent. Yeah, every once in a while, there's a violent schizophrenic person, but the vast majority of schizophrenics, when they are freaking out and having a psychotic break, they are just terrified and trying to run away from everybody and trying to protect themselves because they think everybody else is going to kill them. And they are...
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger comes and saves our lives from a schizophrenic holocaust.
Mic drop. So back to the updates. This is a rambling episode. We haven't done this before. Normally, it's just been some random clips. I've, 2 minutes, 3 minute clips, 5 minute clip. Today, we're actually recording this how most people record a podcast, with two microphones sitting in a room. We had no agenda for this episode. It was more just testing out if we could get this fired up again and get going. The goal for this podcast is to tell some stories from our lives, and then that can lead into discussions of issues to do with mental illness. What's going on, Jim?
I have a call.
You got a phone call?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pause it. You want to get the call or what?
Hello, Wilfred?
Hey, how are you?
I'm just in the middle of some stuff. Can I call you back in the next 2 hours? Well, sure, no problem. No problem.
Okay, all
right.
Bye. And we're back. So, yeah, I don't know. I got a bunch of stories from my life. We're going to get to them. I guess I'm going to write out the point forms of it. I eventually want to write them as short stories that are loosely connected, and then I have them progressing throughout the different stages of my life all the way up to present day and then expanding on into the future. And I have all this kind of speculative fiction detective stuff that I want to branch into, and it gets pretty crazy. So I got all this mapped out, and it's almost like a delusional
conspiracy
kind of grandiose interconnected bunch of stories, which is, I got to be careful with that it might become too schizophrenic and I'll start getting too crazy about it. But I did a lot of work on this and making a lot of notes, and it is a pretty cool idea.
What about the time I told you that my brother John was born in 1983, and my brother John is John Lee Young?
Yeah.
And then 1984 was the Terminator, and it was John Connor. And my brother Winston, who's a special effects, Stan Winston's special effects in Terminator. My brother Winston is called Winston Lee Young. And a special effects guy for the Terminator movies is called Stan Winston. And Jimmy Lee Young is James Cameron. And my second brother I had was that died from dehydration. His name is Robert Lee Young. And I realized that in Terminator 2, they call him Robert Patrick. And all these conspiracy and name-same conspiracies, and how my brother was born in 1983, the Terminator was 1984, and that my brother John went to foster home in 1996, and the movie John Connor ends up in foster home in 1995, and then 1998 was my judgment day. Even though Schwarzenegger says judgment day is 1997, my judgment day was 1998, and we're watching the video, and Jimmy Leon came off a Terminator 2 movie, a schizoaffective, and...
So your judgment day, when you refer to that, was when you were in the psych ward.
Yes.
And you realized this whole Terminator 2 coincidence conspiracy to do with your life and
yes,
Terminator
I remember,
2.
I remember the time when I told Ryan, let's get to Kevin O'Leary, and I said, oh, fuck you, Ryan, you sabotaged me from Kevin O'Leary. That was in 2012 or 13 when we were making that film. And in 2014, the movie 10 was called Sabotage.
And Stallone and Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
No, Sabotage would be the police DEA guy trying to get sabotaged by another people that scammed his drug lord money or something. And
I remember that.
It was like a big conspiracy out there. And I think that I also, when I was talking in the movies with Ryan doing the Jimbo one, I talked about Joe Weider and Joe Weider, the muscle bone guy in 2013. Joe Weider died from a heart problem, and I realized that these conspiracy of muscle and fitness and Arnold movies are real. Not just something that I picked up on Arnold Schwarzenegger Muscle and Fitness magazine that says May 2016. And an inside that 2016 article says 1981 to 2016. And then when I had a passport that was done, and it says May 2016, Jimmy Liang, born 1981 passport. It felt like, wow, there are some kind of powerful conspiracy rituals that are turning me into a Schwarzenegger delusion of fantasy and grandiose. And
so like when you see those connections like that, and I know Jimmy mentioned this similar stories in one of our episodes from season one, where we were trying to get to the bottom of this, but let's just dive into it. What does it feel like when you realize there's all these connections between you and Arnold? Like, what goes through your head at that point? Aside from the fact that, okay, there are these connections, but then what's the next thought?
The next thought is that we got to consult with people like our friends to see if this is reality or not, or write all our crazy ideas down, take into account to our delusions, or is it real, or is it true delusional, or like we just jot down on paper and go over and examine it, maybe laugh about it, or write even more thoughts on paper and show it to Ryan and myself, not to Lisa or Tyler. They may not understand. And yes, I do thoughts that Lisa, Tyler are trying to judge Jimmy and Ryan. They think that it feels like me and Ryan are just taking a long time with the film. We use up all their time. We wasted their time. Now they're going to go after us, right?
Yeah. Well, I am working on the film. And once I get through all the documentary footage, which I'm getting close to the end of that, Lisa and I are going to watch everything, which was almost impossible to watch everything because there is over 100 and something hours of footage. But what I've been doing is watching it all and editing it shorter. So now we're looking at maybe 10 to 15 hours of footage instead of 130 or 140 hours. So I whittled it all down. And then we have some of it already edited quite well. And
plus, we got to show it to Fraser's friends.
Well, we'll show it to a bunch of people when it's done. But, you know, we're going to get this movie done, which, you know, we're just rambling here. Nobody's going to listen to this, but this movie, at least, I think it's going to be put together in an entertaining way that actually makes some sense, that I think people can...
And Ryan's going to show it to Neil McDonald sometime.
Yeah, just a side note, Jimmy's friends with Neil McDonald, who's in Band of Brothers and worked with Steven Spielberg, and, you know, he said he's interested to take a look at this movie. And if it's any good, he might send it to some of his contacts out there. But we don't want to get too delusional thinking we're going to be successful. But, you know, we just got to do the best job we can to edit this as good as it can be.
And be professional.
And then get it out there to see if some people want to watch it and then put it out. I don't know. I just want it to be on Netflix or something so people can watch it. And I don't know. Says a little bit about our thoughts about mental illness, our thoughts about dreaming big, our thoughts about delusions of grandeur, and our thoughts about you got to give ideas a chance, and you got to never give up and keep working on it. This movie was started filming in 2012, and it continues to this day. And it's not going to be done for a while, but this is a 10-year project. I can't move on. As mentioned, I've got all these stories I want to write. I can't really sidetrack myself on those yet. Even this podcast is a little bit of a sidetrack. It's kind of connected to the movie, but got to get this movie done. Maybe hear the progress of it throughout season two of Guilt Trip and Confessions, podcast by Jimmy Leung and Ryan Flowers. Hopefully, this podcast has been quite aimless up to this point, but now we're going to...
Yeah, I also get thoughts that I've been having...
Okay, Jim, I gotta edit this out. We can't have this kind of talk. Number one, I'm all for saying whatever the hell you want to say, but I know you're gonna come after me, and you're gonna get paranoid, and you're gonna be mad that information's out there. So, I'm gonna delete that part, but just so the audience knows, Jimmy's just. He didn't say anything bad. It's just, this is kind of vulnerable stuff that, I don't know, maybe that was the whole point of me trying to do the podcast, but I kind of got too scared and didn't really say, like, I don't know. Guilt trip and confessions, can we get to some of the guilt trip and confessions? I don't know, maybe I shouldn't edit that out, Jimmy. What do you think?
What?
You want to put that out there on public air?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter? All right. We'll leave it in. Well, you guys are going to tune into the future episode of Jimmy getting mad at me about it, but whatever. Next up, once we stop recording this episode, we'll go back through and maybe put some piano to it or some music or something. I don't even know how long this has been going, but it'll help Jimmy write some of his stories out too, or he can just tell me the stories. Like, I remember Jimmy told me one time there's all these security guards and all these people gathered around that you thought you were getting escorted by the security guards or something.
You mean motorcades, right?
There's a whole motorcade there?
A motorcade. I need a motorcade.
Yeah. Well, Guilt Trip and Confessions, Season 2, Episode 1. That's a wrap. See you next time.
Obsessions, confessions, emotions.
Guilt Trip and Confessions.
Guilt Trip and Confessions. Paranoid Guilt Trip and Confessions.